All right, let's go to the phone line here and talk to Mr. Joe Sheehan. And by the way, we called 701-400-3926. I called him at 7 o'clock this morning to find out what time we're going to do the interview, and he picked up. So, hey, man, you pick up 24-7, it seems like. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't promise that, but I sure did my best.
Yeah, that's right. You can hear him rustling around in the background. I'm going to be sipping some coffee here in a minute while you talk. So let's, you know what? I actually have been pretty busy, so I don't know what's going on with the rates as far as the, you know, the Federal Reserve, and I don't even know what's going on with the home ownership. I've been having some different conversations with people about home buying, and I'd like to talk to you about that in a second, but give me kind of a up to speed, you know, where are we at? Where's the rates at? What's the mood out there? Just kind of give me an up to snuff, if you will.
Well, you know, the good news for home buyers is that the Fed, the Fed's actions, and I know this, it's hard to explain to my, you know, customers, because the way the news reports the Fed actions, it automatically makes people assume that mortgage rates are higher because of the Fed. And that's not true. You know, like looking at our Optimal Blue survey, June 14th, rates, the average 30-year fixed rate was over 6%. And as the Fed has moved since June, we're now at yesterday's average lock was 5.4. And so what the Fed is doing is helping stabilize and mortgage rates, and the whole point of, you know, the Fed's actions here is to fight inflation. Inflation is the enemy of home ownership, and so the Fed's fighting inflation and it's working. And it's now, you try to go get that boat loan, that's going to hurt you. You know, you know, your car loans, your boat loans, you're getting these nice 2.5% rates or 0% financing. Well, now that's probably going to change. You're probably going to start paying closer to 4, 5, 6%, depending on how long you're going. But in terms of home ownership, this is definitely helping. And but the problem is there's a lot of sensitivity in the market, and there's a lot of things where the consumer right now, we have a weakening economy. There's people arguing that we are in a recession. And if you define a recession as 2 quarters of negative growth, well, we've got that. The GDP has been down 2 quarters in a row. And there's other signs the economy is slowing. Home ownership or home buying is soft. Home sales are softening. And consumer confidence is softening a little. But the inflation indexes are still pretty high. And that's still, you know, so the Fed came out yesterday and there were people who were saying, well, we think the Fed will start cutting rates again next year. And, you know, one of the Fed members came out of the board and said, that's presumptuous. Don't think that. Don't think we're going to start cutting rates next year.
I wouldn't count on it. No.
Well, I think the Fed is finally admitting that the inflation picture is harder and deeper and tougher than they ever thought it was.
And I think their understanding hasn't even really, we're at about the 20-yard line because they're still... Yeah. Well, like the conversation Steve Bakken and I had yesterday just about CO2, about how if there's a shortage in CO2, that affects the beer industry. Well, the first people that are affected in the beer industry are the craft brewers. And those are the guys who have the bank loans. Those are the ones who have the real estate loans for the buildings and et cetera. So those are some problems that, you know, we could see if the feds don't understand how to work this little chemistry set that they keep trying. I did want to ask you about, you mentioned the boat loan and some of these other, you know, non-home loans, if you will, refinancing. Are people consolidating credit cards through their equity at this point yet? Because that's another sign that, you know, you see a run on that during different economic times. At least two or three times in my lifetime, I've seen kind of a mad rush where people have, you know, put $20,000 worth of credit card debt into their home equity because it saves them a monthly payment and that sort of thing, because they go from 18% down to 7% or 5% or something like that. So are people doing that at all now?
Yeah, I think sometimes people get a little desperate, or just a situation where maybe they are desperate. Truth, you know, that's so interesting you bring it up, because one of the most recent findings was household savings is going down, right?
Oh, huge!
And that's the first sign of what you're talking about is people start doing. And you know what? I do cash out debt consolidation loans. I always tell people to be careful of that. It's certainly a last resort in your financial picture. Discipline is always the first resort, right? Like doing things like the Dave Ramsey snowball. You try to control it yourself first before you tap your home equity. You know, your home equity is a great wealth builder. It's not a great credit card. You know, we want to see people build wealth through their homes. And so when I'm advising people about cash out refinances, and this is the difference between being an order taker and a mortgage planner, right? you go into your local bank. I want to cash out refinance. I want to consolidate my credit cards. Okay.
Right.
You come into me and I'm going to go, well, now why do you want to do that?
Right. They're going to be like, fill this out and we'll let you know. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to go, well, why do you want to do that? Is that your best option? Because, you know, and I do cash out refinances, especially when the debt that we're doing is tied to the house. I love cash out refinances for home improvements. I like cash out refinances and home equity loans for things that have to do with increasing the value or the livability or the pleasure of your home, right? Those are all things I always tell people, hey, if it belongs to the house, tie it to the house. That's great. But, you know, tying the jet ski and the Mexico trip and, you know, locking those things into your home equity. Absolutely. Have I done that for people? Yeah. When we're resetting our financial picture and our discipline and the customer is using that because truthfully, you know, like in the case of job losses, you know, somebody came out of COVID and you wound up taking on debt, or a medical picture where you wind up taking on debt. And now you're trying to reset your financial picture and you just can't afford the obligations you've made that you kind of had to do under duress, right? Those are good times to do a cash out refinance in that case. But most of the time, the first thing I'll do with people with credit card debt is go, hey, let's just look at some financial principles. And does that help you first? And then let's do a checkup in 6 months and see how things are going, you know, but definitely, you know, I think though, but you're going to see, you're absolutely seeing that. What, and here's what you see in my industry. You see my industry prey on exactly what you're talking about. Cause what do you start seeing advertisements for? Pay off those credit cards with your home loan.
I'll tell you, especially veterans, man.
They go after veterans with this stuff. Hey, do a cash out refinance with your VA home loan benefit and consolidate your credit cards. And they just go after them. And I'm not saying you should never do it, but man, you need an advisor in your corner that's going to pump the brakes on that before you tie your home up with, you know, things that didn't belong to the house.
I was going to bring up the fact that I'm glad you brought up the, you know, the bank with the traditional, hey, fill this out. If you fit in the box, you get this. And they don't care about your personal situation. And maybe they do. And maybe I'm being unfair, but I don't think I am. I think I'm being, you know, stereotypical. That's all. And so, which can be unfair to some.
I've worked in this industry 25 years. I've worked for banks and I've worked for myself, and I'll tell you, you're not being unfair.
No, and you know that when it comes to independent guys, there's ebbs and the flows of when it's really beneficial to have a guy, you know, like you mentioned, that can get down to the specifics on your side. And right now is the time, because I'll tell you, I get three or four solicitations for money via text now. I mean, for the last year, Shore Lender Funding or some weird, you know, offshore account, you know, or something like that. It makes you look twice at it. But I'll tell you what, I bet there's people that say, oh yeah, I'll take the 10 grand or the 15 grand or the 50 grand or 150 line of credit, whatever they offer me. But why? They're just doing it because the money's there and it's instant and it's on the phone. Now, when we're talking about small business, we're talking about, you know, credit card buyouts, we're talking about a boat, we're talking about a number of different things. Right now, more than ever, is when a guy, you know, you guys can go out and get all kinds of different, more, you know, outside non-traditional loans, right? That's what a mortgage lender does, right? Goes out and finds best deal out in the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a little bit of a misunderstanding about that. You know, like you have mortgage brokers and you have mortgage banks, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes your bank is actually just a mortgage broker. They really aren't doing the loans. They aren't really funding the loans. They have a company they're selling them to right away, especially the smaller banks. That's what they do.
They're a middleman. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or actually an originator. They're like a salesman. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the honest to God truth is it's a mortgage bank that you want to work with. And here's why. It's kind of like anybody who says, you know, like they're a wholesaler, you know, why wouldn't you buy direct? You know, and mortgage banks buy direct. That's the thing. When you're a mortgage bank, you're not using a middleman. You're not a middleman. A mortgage bank is direct. And so most homeowners, so what you're saying is true in some circumstances, but let me kind of break it down in two categories. The average person who just needs the regular home loan, the 30-year fixed or the 15-year fixed, is better off going with a mortgage bank that goes directly to the government, Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie. So the places that go, and that's what Benchmark Mortgage does. We go direct to Fannie, Freddie, FHA, VA, and USDA. There's no middleman. We go direct. Now, that is the best way to go. Now, on the other hand, I also can broker. I do have a conduit where I can be the middleman to private investment firms that for people who don't fit that basic category, right? But if you're just the average worker in town trying to get a 30-year fixed home loan or do a first-time home buyer loan, man, you want to work with a mortgage bank. If you're somebody who's outside that box and a regular mortgage bank can't help you, that's when you go to a broker. And now we also have a broker conduit at Benchmark Mortgage where I literally can talk to private entities and we can do things like bank, like for people who basically hide all their income and their taxes but they show that they make a lot of money on their bank statements, we have bank statement loans, you know, things like that, where we can go directly to an investment firm that says, hey, we like these kind of people and we do loans for them. And we can deliver those people who fit that profile to that. But when a broker is doing like your regular loans, they're the middleman, and you know that's going to be more expensive.
So you obviously, you know, anybody traditionally looking for a house and working with a realtor, obviously, you know, call Joe Sheehan, 701-400-3926. But I wanted to speak to some of the business owners out there that are really going through those COVID tough times still. And that's where you kind of broke down the difference, and I'm glad you did, because that's where, hey, everybody's situation gets different. You know, you could have a couple trucks that you could put up as collateral. You mentioned the bank statement loans. I kind of chuckled that you said that because it dawned on me. That's how they did COVID. That's how they paid out people during COVID. Hey, what's your bank statements? Here you go. And so people who used to scoff at those kind of loans, well, that's what the government did on the biggest bailout in the history of the world. So,
well, it really works good for like daycare providers. Like daycare providers are one of the hardest ones to do loans for.
Basically people without payroll. You know what I mean? People without payroll is tough. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, they just write everything off. Like if you're running a daycare in your home daycare, I mean, you might gross $70,000. And really, what are the expenses? You're already buying, but now you're writing off all your food. You're writing off all your, like, you're writing off every expense in your daycare, right? So imagine if you wrote off all your personal daily expenses at your house. How much money would you say you have left at the end of the year? Well, it'd be less than 10 or 20% of your income for most people, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so like, when you look at a home daycare's tax returns, they look terrible. I mean, and so, you know, those are places where like bank statement loans come in, because that'll show like $6,000-$8,000 a month in deposits, but their tax return is going to show you know, they made $10,000.
Right, right. Hey, I, you know, being a 1099 employee, no matter if you're a daycare or not, a lot of times, you know, the goal is to make under a certain amount of money. It, you know, because otherwise you get bumped up.
You're in that next tax bracket.
Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean you're not bringing in 150 grand a month or something like that, or 10,000 or 5,000 or whatever it is. So,
definitely want to avoid adjusted minimum tax.
Ain't that the truth? Well, it's so interesting too, because it seems like everything almost can get written off these days, except for things that you actually need written off. But that's a whole different topic, but. Hey, listen, just a few minutes left here. You know, what's the number one thing you want people to know? You know, we're going into the school year here in the next couple of weeks. People's routines are changing. Whether they've got kids in school or not, it doesn't matter, because, you know, collectively, society, kids are back to school. All of a sudden, you know, fall's setting in, football's back on. People have a whole new mindset come this fall. So what do you try to get people, you know, thinking during the fall?
I think the thing, biggest thing is always act on what you want. Don't listen to the news. Don't listen to what everybody else around you is saying. Like, I mean, I hear this all the time. I'm in a restaurant or I'm in a coffee shop talking, oh, we got a housing bubble. You know, you don't want to buy now. No, that's not true. It's just not, none of that stuff's true. I mean, you sit down with a real professional and really look at the numbers and really look at how things perform and really understand the history of the housing market in Bismarck, Mandan. Don't listen to the thing. I'm helping a couple right now make an offer on a house. They started the planning process back in December. Rates have gone up almost 2.5 points since December.
Oh, I hope they're not doing new construction. It's a double whammy with price of lumber.
Jeez. Yeah, but still, but even when you do that, even if you look at all that stuff, if you can afford it, guess what else has gone up even more? Guess how much rents went up last quarter?
Ooh.
8%.
Government stepping in. They've gone up so much.
The rent went up 8% last month. So the idea is that the economy is going to do what the economy does, right? You're not in this for one day and one month. Your life isn't about one day, one month, or one year. Your life is about the long-term plan. It's about 20 or 30 years. Hell, even if you're 70, it's about 20 or 30 years. Don't make a decision about what the news is telling you today. Come sit down, figure out what you can afford, and let's plan now. And let's make good decisions and help you achieve what you want. Why not get what you want? You deserve it.
Joe Sheehan, Benchmark Mortgage. Give him a call at 701-400-3926. You a football fan?
Oh, I love football. I am an expatriate of the Dallas Cowboys. I said once Tony Romo was gone, I was gone, because I can't stand what Jerry Jones has done. But and of course, I'm a local fan of the, you know, the local football teams and the University of Mary and all that stuff. But yeah, I love the game. I played it a little bit in high school, but I love the game.
What an odd thing to say, an expatriate of the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, that's a different that's a different way to phrase that. You know, honestly, when I was a Redskins fan growing up. My neighbor and I used to play Cowboys and Indians. I preferred the bow and arrow. He preferred the cap gun. The Thanksgiving Day game was on back in, you know, 1970 Dickety 2 or whatever. And so I just gravitated to the Redskins. He gravitated to the Cowboys. And it it wasn't even the nickname that did it for me. And it wasn't the fact that they, you know, they have this identity crisis going. It's when Daniel Snyder bought the team and thought he was going to play fantasy football with a bunch of real players. And hey, Deion Sanders, yeah. You retired 4 years ago. Well, come on back. Bruce Smith, hey, you retired 4 years ago. Come on back. I mean, Daniel Snyder ruined the Redskins for me more than that team name did. So I apologize if that's offensive to anybody, but Daniel Snyder is very offensive. So
I was on the fence, you know, and then when we fired a great football coach who was probably set to win 3 or 4 rings, I was like, well, you know, I'll give it one more try. And then, you know, it was just, you know, when you make another Hall of Fame coach leave,
And listen, folks, I know you got your Packers and Vikes rivalry, and I know you've got your Raiders and Broncos rivalries out there, but the Dallas-Washington rivalry was number one in sports for a long time until the owners came in and poached those organizations more than anything for the last 15 years. Neither one has made the playoffs more than a handful of times, you know. So, but
Riggins and Theismann broke my heart a few times,
and and his leg too. Whoa. Anyway, but hey, listen, preseason football starts tonight. That's why we got the Raiders taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars Hall of Fame game. And you know, like I said, people start thinking differently during this time of the year. So, Joe Sheehan, thanks for the time today.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jason.